Thank you, Michael, for your prayer and also for that scripture reading. I agree. The book of Revelation is not always the easiest to read, is it? You did well. It's difficult to understand, but I think this is one scene that is, well, it's easier of all the stories that we have, all the scenes we have in the book of Revelation. This is one of the easier ones. This is a scene that is filled with worship. From beginning to the end, we are surrounded by worship. For a while, we experience God being at the very center of the universe, God being the very center of this whole story. And around God is this worship. He is surrounded with worship from beginning to the end. We begin with those four living creatures who are surrounding the throne of God. They're strange looking in their appearances, but they are there worshiping the Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, they say. And they never stop day and night. They're worshiping the Lord God. And they're recognizing God in terms of his holiness, who God is. What is it like to be close to God and to recognize him? And then surrounding the four living creatures, there are the 24 elders who also are giving their praises to God. And their praises take this worship of God even to a different level. They worship God not only for who he is, but this is the God who has created us. By him, all things have been created. And they praise God because in everything, in all of heaven and on earth, God is the one to be praised because he sustains us every day in our life. And this spontaneous praise and thanksgiving is not limited to the four living creatures, nor to the 24 elders that surround the throne. By the time that you and I enter into the fifth chapter, the second part of this story, we are surrounded with the praises of all of heaven, as it were. There's a new song that's being praised to God for the gift of his son Jesus, the Lamb who was slain and the one who was able to open this life book of God's salvation coming into and to expression in the whole world. And all of the angels are gathered together. John hears thousands of angels. How many are we gathered here this morning? What would you guess? Let's say 150? 100? 100 voices. Now, we're putting together some really good sounds. And it's good to hear our voices gathering together in praise to the Lord God Almighty. But now, can you hear the sounds of 1,000 angels? And they're trumpeting their praise to the Lord God Almighty. And there's not just 1,000 angels, but John says there are 10,000 times 10,000. I mean, all of heaven is afire with praise. It's heaven on steroids. They are just praising God and thanking him for this gift that God has given to us for his son, Jesus Christ. There is praise all over the place. I was impressed as I listened to the youth. You're telling your story about being in Guatemala, and you're going to hear worship in the chapels. I recall myself, I mean, nothing has changed. I recall being in chapel in college, and there wasn't a whole lot of excitement there. But here you were, and you experienced this excitement that was there amongst the Guatemalan students. And they were giving thanks, and the staff, and the joy which they were expressing to the Lord God Almighty. Here we have in Revelation 4 and 5, all of heaven ablaze with this praise and thanksgiving and worship to the Lord God Almighty. And then, as it were, the floodgates break in heaven, and all of this worship is poured out, spilling over the whole creation. So that John says, when I saw and what I heard was the praise of God over the whole creation in Guatemala, in Canada, in China, in Europe, everywhere. And he says it wasn't just by those who were living on the land, but he says all the creatures in the oceans too, and in the oceans. It was like the whole creation, this world that you and I know, it became alive with praise to God. God was recognized as being at the very center of the whole created universe. Here is God on his throne in all of creation. This is Psalm 150 expressed right before our very eyes and ears, where everything that has breath gives praise and thanksgiving to the Lord God who's sitting on his throne. What a moment for John to experience. What a moment for us, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you and I this morning, that we are witnesses, that we can hear it, we can see it, we can see the excitement that's there in the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the angels, and all of creation. You know what? We need that. Because quite frankly, in the world in which you and I are living, my world, your world, we do not recognize, we do not experience that God is the one who is at the very center of our life and the very center of our universe. We experience him as a God who is, he's someone that we can acknowledge from time to time. And the worship that is given to this God has become so small in our world today. I often compare it to the value that has been given to that little copper penny. Remember it? It used to be part of our currency. It was only worth 1 cent. That's all it was. But now it's been taken out of the currency. We don't even use it anymore. We just round the numbers off. Worship has become one of those things. You can do it or you can leave it. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is like this thunderstorm. If you experienced this morning at 5 o'clock, it was like a schmuck in a head, and it came with all of its power. Revelation 4 and 5 is that power hit of the whole creation coming alive to recognize who the Lord our God is and to give him the adoration and the praise which is his due. You know what I find so surprising in this whole story is this. The very first creatures that we meet in the story, who are giving all of their praise and adoration to the Lord God who is on his throne, are those four living creatures. Now, so far as I'm concerned, this is where the book of Revelation gets a little shady and a little scary, because I don't want to meet any one of these four creatures when I'm walking down an alley at night. They're scary. There is this one creature. Let's just look at this one particular creature. The very first one who we meet is a lion. And it's a lion who has 7 wings. Now, I'm dealing with lions that once in a while who have 4 legs, and that's bad enough. And here's a lion that has 6 wings. This guy can go anywhere he wants to, and that's mighty scary. He's a strange-looking fella. And under each of the wings, there are eyes. There are eyes all over the place. Kids, you think your mother had eyes in the back of her head. And that was bad enough to deal with. But this creature has got eyes all over the place and wings all over the place. This is a creature that can move and can have eyesight. It's a powerful creature. There's 4 of these creatures. They are the ones that are oddballs, I think. The oddballs of heaven's creation. But they are the ones who have this genuine praise to the Lord. We can look at them and say, well, those are odd-looking creatures, and what's God up to with that? Maybe what he's up to is this. God can take those who in our eyes look a bit strange and a bit odd in terms of the rest of the creation, and God can use them in powerful ways. It was the praises of these four living creatures who recognized God sitting on his throne, and they saw more than what John saw. They saw not only God in terms of the Creator God, but they also saw him as the Redeemer God, who was revealed later in Jesus in the very same chapter. And they called out, "Holy, holy, holy." And as soon as they did so, we see something that happens. It's like a trigger. It's like playing dominoes. As soon as that one first domino falls, the rest of them follow suit. And what happens here in this story is the four living creatures bow down and worship to the Lord God Almighty. And then the 24 elders who are gathered around this throne, they too bow down in worship. They trigger a revolution of praise and thanksgiving, and that vibrates all over, so the whole angels, all the angels and all of creation, ultimately give praise to the Lord God Almighty. Just a few voices. Strange voices. Maybe you've met a few of these oddball kind of creatures in the time of your life. Maybe as you've come back from Guatemala, you think back on that story. Perhaps this one child who just would not leave you alone. The one kid who took your sunglasses, would not give them back. But somehow, in this kid, you saw a genuine love and adoration that is going to go with you for the rest of your life. I've met some odd people in my life. I think, for example, of Jack Allingham. Jack was a simple fellow in our neighborhood when I was growing up as a child in eastern part of the province. He was the kind of guy that the rest of us would make fun of. We would sport about his simpleness. Jack came and visited one time when I was about 12 years old, home alone for the very first time, parents off, grocery shopping. I was facing minor surgery, but for a kid, any minor surgery is major surgery. I was scared. Jack visited with me, and I told Jack that I was going to have surgery. And Jack says, "I'll pray for you." And you know what I expected. I expected he was going to go home and he's going to pray for me, right? But no. In his simple way, Jack took me to a chair, had me sit down by the chair, and he knelt down on the ground and had me kneel beside him. And he prayed. He prayed for my surgery that it would go well. Jack was an oddball in terms of our community. But I'll never forget Jack, because he was one of those living creatures who opened my eyes to see the wonder of God, genuine worship. Or I think of a dear elderly saint who I met in one of my first congregations. These were the days when we didn't have those real nice small hearing aids. And she was elderly, and the plague she was plagued with not being able to hear well. We had for her this large, it looked like a funnel. It was a horn. And I remember making pastoral visits to her, and I would have to speak into this horn, and then she would be able to hear a little bit. A dear saint. Can you imagine me preaching a sermon through this big old horn? You know, my dear sister, on Sunday mornings, she would be sitting right there. And I would say to her, "My dear sister, why are you here? You can't hear a thing." She said, This is my family. This is where we worship God together. I needed her there. I needed to hear and I needed to see her genuine worship. Because that helped me to be at home with God and open for me His kingdom now. I think that's how it is. Worship has become so small. Maybe you got up this morning and you said, the only reason I'm going is because Mom and Dad are dragging me. Maybe you as an adult, if you're honest, you saying, I really didn't feel like coming this morning. It happens. And in our world, in which worship has become so small and so insignificant, we need these words of Revelation 4 and 5 to remind us and assure us that what we are doing right now is the most important practical thing that you can be doing for the coming of God's kingdom today. Amen? That's what it is. That's why we're here. We're here for each other. We're not here for what I can get out of it, but we're here for what we can give to each other. We want to help each other to see God sitting on His throne and that He is worthy of all our praise for the gift of His Son Jesus, for the gift of His Holy Spirit, for the gift of life. So let's go out into this week again, being reminded God's at the center. We're here to worship Him, and He is worthy of all our praise. And worship is not pennies. It's the pure gold. Amen. May I lead you in a prayer? Dear Lord, I thank You for this blessing that Linda and I could be here this morning. We pray for Your congregation here. Thank You for this morning that we could gather in our songs and in our prayers, in our offerings and stories we could share together, for Your word which we could open, for the people who are here. We pray that You will bless this ministry that we have together and for each other. To Your praise and to Your glory, now and always, amen.